the serving heart. This is the story of Jesus speaking to his disciples about the kingdom of God, the authority in the kingdom, and the way to have authority by becoming a servant. Matthew chapter 20, verse 20. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" She said to him, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on the left, in your kingdom." But Jesus answered and said, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with?" They said to him, "We are able." A little overconfidently, I think. So he said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father." And today we honour our Father, the perfect Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. Can you imagine? Harumph, harumph. Sometimes I revert back to English. But Jesus called them to himself and he said, "You know that the rulers of this world lord it over people, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." So now, if you'll look on the page there concerning the instruction from the book The Plan, chapter 14. They heard the approaching sound of voices talking excitedly, and especially loud and excited was the voice of a woman. It turned out to be James and John arriving with their mother, who was greeted warmly by them all, as she was a woman well known for her religious zeal. She knelt down facing Jesus with the two sons standing behind her. "Jesus, I have a favour to ask of you concerning my two sons. I know that they are favourites of yours, which is wonderful, as they are very special boys." Remember, there was James and Peter and John, the three. "As they are very special boys. So I was wondering if you might give them a special place in your kingdom, to be seated next to you, one on your right hand and one on your left. I don't mind which side, as that would be entirely up to you." There was a stunned silence. Peter could contain himself no longer. He let out a loud, explosive, "Bah!" like the bellow of an ox in distress. Similar irate sounds and heated words were hurled at the two sons, from the rest of the disciples, and then even at one another, as it became clear that they were all coveting some special position one day, if not right now. Jesus knew he had a difficult situation on his hands. So he addressed the mother first. you don't know what you're asking for. It cannot be done that way. He helped her to her feet, and she stood, shaken. Then Jesus addressed the men. What you are all wanting for yourselves is not even mine to give. Father has given you all to me, but he alone gives place and position as he sees fit. I will give you instruction and teaching and serve as an example for you to follow. But if you're to follow me, then you must follow all the way. I have a cup of pain and sorrow that I must drink, and an ordeal of suffering that I must go through. Are you able to share that with me instead of some position of importance that you think you deserve? Yes, Master, they all said, nodding and mumbling sheepishly to each other, sobered by the rebuke, and surprised at the meanness that they had witnessed in their own hearts. Jesus went on, well, you've been called by my Father to share just that, and you can get your minds off anything else. You cannot behave like the empire rulers. They like positions of power so that they can dominate others using fear to get what they want out of them. That is not the proper use of authority. We are truly sorry, said James. I've not finished yet, so please listen. I will know that you've demonstrated true authority when I see you serving one another, not competing with one another. This is the way it has to be in my kingdom. I've been sent to serve, not to be served, and to lay down my life for others. This does not stop me from having complete authority in all that I've been called to do. It is the same with you and for all who want to follow me. They lifted their downcast eyes one by one to look at him, expecting to see anger in his face, but all they saw was kindness. Just because I have to correct you doesn't mean that I don't love you. In fact, it means that I do love you. They believed him. That day, they learned a lot about God and a lot about themselves. They realized one thing above all else, that they could not live life without God. No one could. Could you teach us how to pray? Asked John. Jesus thought for a moment, then he knew exactly what he had to say. Let me tell you how I pray. They sat up as one and prepared their minds and hearts to hear what he had to say. The first thing I think of is my Father, and of how I respect him and honour his name, Father. I think of the fact that he's made me to be who I am. And who I am comes from who he is. My life on earth exists because his life exists. This connects me to him. And he's always waiting for that connection, always. This is the Lord's Prayer, you might be guessing, yes. Then I tell him that I want everything in my life to go according to his plan, the one he has thought of for his heavenly kingdom, and for his will to be done on earth according to that plan. I then ask him to provide for me all that I need for his plan to work out in my life. This takes away any insecurity about my personal needs. I thank him for pouring out his forgiveness upon a struggling humanity and for allowing me to flow with him in this towards others. I also ask for protection from the evil plans of the lie, who wants me to become independent from Father the way he did throughout the book I call Satan the Lie. After that, I just give glory and honour to him in praise, telling him how great and awesome he is. Then I just relax and wait for what he puts in my spirit for us to talk about. I just want to stop there. That's the Lord's Prayer, and that's Jesus showing us how he prays. So relational, so functional, so real, so full of faith. You'll provide, Lord. You'll be there. You've cleared the way. Forgiveness has happened. I can flow. Bring that forgiveness. Bring your love. Your kingdom will come. It's here. All right, so he stopped in that prayer and sat and waited. Thomas had a question. How can we have the confidence to approach Father God like that? We are not like you. We are sinners. We feel shut away from him when we have let God down by being selfish. There are all kinds of things that we keep getting wrong. He looked at his companions to see what they might say, or if they would just remain silent and let him look the fool. James coughed nervously, then stammered out, the worst thing I find about myself is that I tend to judge others for their faults and not see my own glaring mistakes. John edged forward and said tentatively, there are times when I just want my own way, and being kind like you is the last thing I think of. The kindness of Jesus again washed over their souls. Father knows that you fail quite often and that not one of you can be the person you would like to be, but nobody can escape the tug of the me self and its need to have its own way. He looked at Peter, who finally decided to speak up, the words rushing out of his bursting heart. I get dragged away by something dark inside of me that makes me want to defend myself. I find I have no room for God in my heart at times like that. Jesus leaned forward. There's only one way that you can rise above that tug from the darkness inside all of you, and that is by living each moment within the love of Father God. He's always wanted this for you and for every other person ever born. Jesus paused for a moment and waited for this truth to sink into their minds. He can put aside all your wrongdoing and not let it come between you and him. He can draw you into the same love that he has with me. That is his plan. But I must die first, lose my life for you, then rise up, present that life to Father. Then I'll be able to give you that life and the same closeness with Father that I have. How will this happen? Asked John. I'm creating a new heart for humanity, a new motivation for living, so that everyone can enjoy and share in the love that exists between Father and me. Holy Spirit will place that amazing love in the hearts of all who ask for it. Now you'll see on the other page, the original newsletter, you'll see a scripture. John 12:25. He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. When you see the word hate in the Bible, it is a relative word. It does not mean to have malice in your heart towards somebody. It's the old English word that was used for the preference of one thing over another. It is, I will have that in preference to that. I will have that and hate that. Either love God and hate the world, or hate God and love the world. And you think, wow, golly, that's pretty polar. But he's really saying you'll prefer one or the other. You'll be drawn and tugged to one, and you'll say, that's what I prefer. It's a choice, not necessarily a vehement emotion. He who loves his life will lose it. He who hates his life or prefers something else will keep his real life for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. Can you just think about that for a moment? If there is a servant heart, you will be wherever Jesus is. That's where he is. He's not a spectator. He's not watching a bunch of servants running around saying, hurry up, get that done. Where your heart is serving out of love, because you are loved and because you know that prayer that he prayed, and he's looking after everything for you and your partners with him in the kingdom. When that is happening, he's there. If you want to be in the presence of the Lord, that's where he always is. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honour. Just now, finishing up with a little summary. Losing our life to save it is when the me self makes way for the Jesus with me self. You got the difference? I've got a me self. I know it very well. I talk to it. It used to scare me, my me self. It used to make me feel so self-conscious. I'm learning to laugh at it. So get out of here. You get me into trouble. But I know you're around. Now, how can I have the audacity to say that? Because I know the Father is smiling and saying, you've got it, Paul. I'm covering that dumb me self of yours with my mercy, because I know you've preferred something else. It's a matter of preference. I'm never going to get rid of this me self until one day I get a new body and everything's been transferred. But I know that me self doesn't have to rule the roost. When Paul wrote about when I would do good, I find there's ill present within me, he knew that was with him, but he knew that he could live another life. He said, I'm no longer living the life according to the law or the principle of sin and death. I've left this orbit, and I'm now living in the orbit of life in the Spirit of Christ. I've now broken through the gravity of the pull of this me thing. It's there. Yeah, yeah. Paul said, it's there, it's there. Whenever I would do good, I find it's there. But he said, I'm out of its gravitational pull because I'm now in another orbit with Jesus. You see, that's what we've been called into. So losing our life to save it is when the me self makes way for the Jesus with me self, which is the true self. You are not just your me. That's your idea of you. That's not God's idea of you. His idea of you is you and Jesus together. The perfect partnership. There are things in your me self that God has used. There are things that you've been gifted with by God, and talents and abilities that you think, oh, well, if that's part of my me self, it's bad. Now, that's all there. It's just that the inclination of the heart has been to use all of those good things that are there, your personality and sense of humour, your artistic creativity, whatever it might be, your intellect, they're all there. They're all, in a sense, part of that me-self, but now they are on another altar, not the altar of self-service. And now all of these things can be used. So you're still you. You don't become a robot, but it's now at a different disposition of the heart. That's the true self. That is the narrow way that leads to life. You know that scripture? Narrow is the way that leads to life. That's it. I'm not talking about, oh, there's a narrow way and it's hard and you just have to be so pious and you have to be so perfect. No, the narrow way is being able to get out of that orbit into the right orbit. That's the narrow way. You've got to find, there it is, I can escape through, boom, bang, you're out. Like a rocket ship. You're free. If anyone serves me, my Father will honour. I'm just repeating the scripture here. Where I am, my servant will be there also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honour. To honour means Father recognising what we do as honouring Jesus and himself. It's a recognition. Honour is recognition. It's not giving you trophies necessarily, it's just recognizing, I honor that, yes. I honor your place there. So it's recognizing that what we do is honoring Jesus and himself, Father, not ourselves. But we're doing that out of our hearts. It's all a heart thing. The me self can live its own life and follow its own idea of serving and not be where Jesus and me is going to. You say, well, I'm going to church. That's a holy thing to do. And God says, yeah, but why aren't you going with me? Oh, for God. Why are you going there with that attitude? Oh, well, some people need to know something, I'll tell you. Well, I'm not coming with you. See, the me self can live its own life and say, I'm serving, but not be where the Jesus and me is going. That's where Jesus has to say, as in, yes, I saw you doing a lot of things, saying you're doing them in my name, but I never knew you. Matthew 7. Jesus was preparing his disciples for this narrow way, but they had to wait till the Holy Spirit had come before they could enter into it. Holy Spirit has arrived. And now true serving can happen. Now don't feel bad when I say this next bit. God is not impressed with our performance. At least he does not have confidence in it. He might really say, oh, that was great. But what I'm saying is, he doesn't have confidence that it's just our good performance that will make the day. He's not impressed with that in the sense that he's not saying, well, look, if you don't really look smart and get it right, and have every word and all your ducks in a row and get, look, I can't use you. He's not impressed with that. That's not what he has confidence in. That's what Paul said. He said, I've got no confidence in the flesh. Philippians chapter 3. That's what. But God has confidence in his empowered performance within our hearts in doing the best we can. So, whilst I don't want to try and impress God with my performance, I still want to do the best I can. And I've just got to deal with that me, self and me that wants to impress other people as I'm doing it. That's okay. So go have mercy on it. If you find a bit of that there, get rid of that. But the main thing Are you here, Lord? Is something happening? And God says, it's okay. It's okay. I have confidence that I'll do what has to be done. You do what you do the very best you can. You do the best you can. Be prepared. I'll use everything I've given you to empower what I want to do. But it's not to impress others, and it's not to have confidence in your performance, but it is something that you do with me. And I will empower that. His mercy overrides our imperfect performance when our hearts are knit with His. He honors that. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your heart to serve, and for making it something that is our food to do what you want to do. It sustains our soul. It doesn't tire us. It strengthens us. You said, my food is to do the will of my Father. Thank you for that heart. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for lifting us out of the tug of the atmosphere of the earth and into an orbit where we're free with you, with another kind of pull towards yourself and not just towards the earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true.
Sing that again. Here's my heart.
Here's my heart, Lord.
Can you pray that to Him?
Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord.
Speak truth, Lord.
Speak what is true.
I am found. I am yours. I am loved. I'm made pure. I have life. I can breathe. I am here.
My heart, Lord.
ask God to search your heart. Lord, open us up. Speak to us. Draw us closer to you, Father. And sing this prayer to him. You are more than enough. Can you sing that?
'Cause you are more.